thought you knew, but you have no idea. It's the Urban Sports Scene.
Yeah, you're listening to Urban Sports Scene. I'm Wally. Here, my boy Will T. Ray Jeezy. What's up, folks?
What's good, baby? Will T, what's happening?
I know, what's going on, Will T?
Where's your microphone?
Where's your mic there, Will T?
This is what happened. Real
what's going on,
do
man?
Real things.
How you guys doing?
Everything's great, but Will T, you know how we do it.
Oh, first, before I get into that, man, I got a few things I want to say. First of all, I want to say congratulations to Phil Chenier for having his number will be retired next year, number 45, DC legend. Much deserved. And
how do you like that?
Yeah, nah, the second one, I'll wait till we close out the show.
All right,
let's get into our tradition, the pregame.
Hey, the first topic, the Washington Redskins defeating the L.A. Rams 27-20. We will have former Redskins cornerback Fred Smoot as a guest. At 8:20, we will preview the Redskins-Oakland Raiders game, what's happening Sunday night. At 8:30, we'll make our week three NFL predictions. At 8:40, we will have Ryan Sullivan, editor-in-chief of NatGM.gov.
dot com. Okay.
You know how work is. He'll talk about the Washington Nationals. Finally, at 8:50, we will recap Saturday's big fight between Triple G and Canelo Alvarez. Right now, we have
former Redskins cornerback Fred Smoot joining the show.
Thank you, sir. Appreciate it.
I had to finish it for you, sir.
I know, because I had to do two things at once. Hey, Fred Smoot, what's going on, my man? Everything is gravy. Thank you for joining the Urban Sports Scene, man. We appreciate you being on the show. What have you been up to of late?
Hey, man, living life. That's what happened. You get those little to the beginning. Yeah, I want a couple of things. And she's starting to identify with yourself. We start to feel so early on. We start to feel not put in one sport so much. We forget about who we are, and we identify by that sport. So when we finally get to retire, we start to do a lot of traveling.
I obviously, you know, there's a lot going on with this Washington Redskins team recently. Before we get into the Redskins Rams game, Sue Craven was put on the reserve left squad list and is done for the season. Your thoughts about Sue Craven?
First of all, and you ask anybody in the ghetto, would they do anything for $1 million? It's just about nothing they want to do. Now, I'm talking about whatever they need to do. This kid has proven a fact about a lot of millennials these days. They're headed all over the place. It's all from focus on one thing, and when things don't go their way, they act like babies. But this has really cost this guy not only his fortune, but the fortune for his kids, and the kids after that. And that's a terrible thing. That's terrible to me. It's sad if you ask me.
Yeah, I thought it was a bad look, to be honest with you, when, you know, he was there for the USC game on Saturday night. And then we're looking at the Redskins are playing the Rams, big game. For a lot of people, it was a must-win game. And he was nowhere to be seen on the field in terms of the sideline. You know, just chucking up with his homies. But, and I guess within USC, he was there, you know, having a good time.
Well, that just tell you where his head is at. He's a California kid. His head is out there in California, you know. That's where he at. But, you know, his focus is supposed to be football. It's not like our job is a year long. We have basically the same schedule as a teacher. You work more than half the year and you get the rest of it off. I don't get where his focus at, but that tells me what he doesn't love. And I don't think he's in love with football. I just think he's one of those guys that's gifted. You run into them on teams time after time. They're just good at what they do. That don't mean they love it. And you can find that at any job.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think that with all of the recent, what do you want to call it, research as far as concussions go, I think that may have played a role into his thought process. You don't think so?
We're not going to do that. Every day, I don't care what job you got, it's a hazard to it. If you're in the military, it ain't gonna shock you when you come tell me you got shot. That wasn't happening. If you're a police officer, you're under constant danger. If you're offshore oil rig, you got totally a lot of stuff. If you're a miner, every job comes with its hazard. I don't care what the job is. So don't tell me it's all of a sudden you said you're gonna be crazy.
Well, I don't know. I know, like, guys like Clinton Portis, they worried about it. He didn't even want to go get his head scanned. But anyway.
He wasn't worried about it while he was running that ball on TV every week. We all can worry about it now that we're older. We've been through it. But if you ask us, will we do it again? 99% of us will do it again because it comes with a way of life. Think about this. The guy that literally digs for coal in Pennsylvania, a coal miner, his job is more dangerous than a football player, and he don't even get the glory. He don't even get the money. He don't even get the lifestyle. At least it's a give and a take. I just don't get it.
I feel you on that point. Moving forward, though, a couple ex-Redskins took some jabs at each other, I guess, in the media. Santana Moss, RG3. We just want to get your thoughts on that, since you were kind of close to the team around the time.
Perfect timing.
They tried to run me out of D.C. right after his rookie year when I went on First Take with Stephen A. and Skip Bayless and told him that he will not make it 4 years in this league, and I have been proven right. The plays that RG3 made when he was younger, they can't be... You can't redo them. You can't do them every day. And when it comes to football, it's the ultimate team sport. And I repeat this again and again. Team sport does not work as Michael Jackson in the Jackson 5. It just has to be the Jackson 5. That's the way it has to be. And I understand what Santana is talking about. We all know, RG3 was kind of into RG3, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, absolutely.
Definitely.
And now, all of a sudden, every time an ex-player say something, everybody want to say, you just bitter because you ain't playing. Man, we got to retire one day. We can't play that sport forever. We ain't, man. Mm-hmm. We done made enough money. We don't care what we say. Have you ever talked to somebody, they'll say anything to you?
Right now, you're listening to the Urban Sports Team, myself, Wally, Will T. Ray, and right now we have former Redskins cornerback Fred Smoot online. So let's get into the actual game. Let's get to the Washington Redskins Rams games. What did you think about that game in terms of, the Redskins finding a new identity?
Well, here's the thing about it. It's not finding a new identity. The best coaches in the game, we study them all. Belichick doesn't have identity. The identity to that team is beat you. If you can't stop the run, they'll run the ball 60 times. You can't stop the pass, they'll throw the ball 50 times. Do what the team can't do or what they're not good at. And for the first time, my coach said, you know what? I like to throw the ball, but it wouldn't benefit us this game. So I was more in love with the coaching and not just the coaching in the game plan, that they stuck with the game plan and figured it was the best way to get the job done. See, that's what I tell people. Teams without identity don't win championships. Teams that go out there to beat you and have a formula to beat your team and not coach your coach, they're the teams that win.
Yeah, and Smoot, I totally agree. What I liked the most, though, was that we were all expecting Sean McVay to come out and have a great idea of what the Redskins' game plan was, and they ran it right down their throats. It reminded me of like the Joe Gibbs era where you knew what was coming, but you couldn't stop it.
Well, if you study the Rams roster, Donald, the best player, he just got back 2 days before the game. All right? And if you're trying to throw him in the game, you knew one thing about it. He might be good, but he is not in football shape.
Yep.
Right? And the fact that Out of all D linemen in the league, he's one of the lighter D linemen. If you want to beat a pass rusher, you run right through him. You run the ball right in him. Behind him playing linebacker is Mark Barron, an ex-safety. He only weighs in at 230. Very light. They're light and they're fast. They're built to pass rush and play the pass. They're not built to stop the run, and we proved it last week.
So into the, even in that game, you play with a great – You were part of a good secondary in both tenures of Washington. How do you rank right now this secondary in terms of Breland and Norman right now? How are they playing at a high level?
It's hard to rank somebody after the second game. Mm-hmm. Do I like this group better than last year's group? Yeah, I do. I think they're deeper. I'm really high on Kendall Fuller. I live in VA. It's 1,000 Fullers here. It's 20 in the NFL right now. Everybody named Fuller right now. So at the end of the day, I like the way that guy plays. He plays the nickel at a high level. So I look at the depth with Monroe. I know what I'm going to get from Breland. I know what I'm going to get from Norman. I think the biggest addition was DJ Swearinger because of his attitude, his leadership ability. But number one, communication. He knows how to make sure all of us are on the same page, and that's the key with us. As long as we're on the same page, we rarely give up catches. And I think he's the key to communicating back there. But to really save our butt in the defensive backfield, let's throw us up front with Jonathan Allen and the rest of them guys.
Mm-hmm. Well, we have some social media questions for you on our Twitter and Facebook page. On Twitter, at Liv1 says, what are your thoughts on safety Fish Smith, Smithson possibly being called up on the main roster?
Fish yeah. Smithson?
Mm-hmm.
I sure hope to catch fish. You know I love fish.
Hey, you know that was classic.
You know what? I love I study what certain teams do with certain cultures.
Uh-huh.
And Green Bay, Pittsburgh, New England, certain teams only draft guys from smaller schools with chips on their shoulders. Because
mm-hmm.
all of us, when you get to the NFL, we're mostly all the same amount of talent. Now, what motivates us to play, what separates us? And I love the underdog. And most teams, some teams that only recruit and sign underdogs. And Fish Smith is that type of dude. He don't fit your numbers anywhere. Not tall enough, not big enough, not fast enough. But when he gets on the field, he makes plays. And I think that's what you should do. You should do what those franchises do. They don't go out and sign guys off the street. They just bring up the guy that they already got time in with.
So, I mean, I'm a fan of how real you keep. And I heard you said something before in terms of this market, you know, looking for, you know, it's time for Kirk Cousins to step up and not looking for excuses. Can you talk about that a little bit?
Well, you know, this is what I also do. I always try to respect people getting paid in the business.
Mm-hmm.
But the real is always a cause and effect to whatever you do. And I'm going to continue to say this. Anytime you're in any job, the blueprint is the person that does their job the best.
Yeah.
So you always got to study the blueprint. And it's the reason why New England is a great team. It starts with the great quarterback. The fact that he realized for me to have a dynasty, I can't bankrupt my team. I can't be the highest paid quarterback in the league because I need people to throw to. I need defensive players and special team players. He understands whatever money I don't make on the field, I get it off the field with endorsement. He understands. And now what I'm saying is we're going to either be a prisoner to Kirk and be in a similar fashion as the New Orleans Saints with Drew Brees now, takes up so much of the cap room that you can't fix the defense. And I'm sorry, quarterback can't win the game. But a guy like Drew Brees changes the offense because we don't even know half of his receivers' names and he still puts up 400 or 500 yards. We don't know Aaron Rodgers' receivers' names. He still puts up 400 or 500 yards. Tom Brady the same way because there's a difference between an elite quarterback and just a good one. An elite quarterback makes regular receivers good. A good quarterback needs other good receivers to even be remotely good. And that's the difference. So I'm not going to pay him like an elite quarterback when he ain't elite. I'm not going to pay you just because there was the market price say I'm supposed to pay you. I'm going to pay you what it takes to make my team go and continue to do it. I'm sorry. 5 to 6 quarterbacks are coming out in this next draft. I'm not hungry for one. I'll let you go. Hey. Plus you're 30 years old. Plus you never won a playoff game. Plus, like, what are you talking about?
Smoot, that's what got McLuhan ran out of here, man. Come on, bro. We want everybody to keep their job.
Hey, man, at the end of the day, it's a business, you know? And it's, I think this, if somebody wanted to be here, they would have worked that deal out. They'd have been worked that deal out. What's the difference between 110 and 125? It ain't too much difference, all right? At the end of the day, if you wanted to be here, you would have worked the deal out. But no, you don't want to be here, and you pushing us to the end. And, you know, that's just what happened. That's just what it is, and it's time for people to look at it for what it is and stop worrying about he the best quarterback we had since Bernard Jurgensen. He's just good. He ain't great.
It's smooth, man. We really appreciate you coming on the show. Before we let you go, how could folks get your contact on social media?
By the way, I always want to say this. I be very clear and passionate about what I say.
Mm-hmm.
First of all, I love Kirk. I love Kirk as a person.
Mm-hmm.
This is just my personal opinion. Mm-hmm. I'm not telling you what's true or what's right.
Yeah.
This is my opinion. Mm-hmm. So it's not going to be like anybody else's opinion. It's just how I see what I think. And at the end of the day, we either going to go bankrupt signing him or we starting all over losing him. It's either one, but we can't afford not to do one or the other because the Cowboys have a young duo that's only 2 years old in the game. Philadelphia has one of the best young and upcoming quarterbacks. And New York Giants is very young on defense. So, hey, starting over might not be so bad.
No, like I told you before, you keep it real. Like, I don't think it's an issue when you state your, you know, you state your point, and you're not trashing anybody in terms of personal.
Well, some people would say, well, he just hates Kirk. No. He hates this. Well, you can't say this, because I said the same thing about RG3.
That's what I like
what
about your fairness.
What I said about him was, I didn't see the overall talent. At least with Kirk, I'm telling you, I see the talent, but what's the end game?
That's so true. But again, thank you, Fred. We appreciate you being on the show. So how can people hit you up on social media?
Hey, man, I'm not really on a lot of social media. I like to tell people what I got to say to their face. But you can catch me on Twitter, FSmooth21, Sean T. I talk a little trash on there.
I see. Thank you, Fred. We appreciate you, man. Thanks again.
Well, you got to share the show on there.
Anytime, fellas. Just let me know what you need.
You got to share the Urban Sports Scene on social media. You can do that. Then you can log off, bro.
All day long.
All right, appreciate you. Thank you so much. Next, that's Fred Smooth, man. We appreciate him.
It was a great interview.
It was great. A guy that's still in shape, you know, after his career. I love people like that. Because I'm watching Maurice Jones-Drew right now, NFL Network, and I didn't know who he was at first.
He's on NFL Network?
Yeah. You ain't just see him?
Yeah, where?
You know, we got the nice studio with the luxury TV. So, you supposed to be watching.
Why are you frying me?
No, we do appreciate Smooth calling in. And yeah, we're going to do a live show with him one day.
That would be off the chain.
Very, very entertaining.
Very, very entertaining. Anyway, up next, the Redskins have the Raiders. We'll discuss after the break. You listen to the Urban Sports Thing.
For ages.
You dig.
Deuces.
Skins, everything. We're on that, bro. You know what I'm saying? We on right now. Real people do real things.
Oh.
You know what I'm saying? Real people do real things. It's going to be uncut now. It's like, nah, not realty. Cool. No, yeah, no, cool. That was a joke. No, no, I'm that's not. Cool. No, it will not be uncut.
Fred Smooth, great guy. I'm glad he called into the show. One of the more entertaining guys in general in the media. And I forgot about that appearance on First Take.
Yeah. He was ago. Kept it real.
No, I didn't.
But it's amazing, though, that he was one of the only people at the time that was speaking against RG3.
No, he wasn't.
RG3, yeah. Did
no,
that playoff
wasn't.
Run?
No, he wasn't.
Come on.
Who's the only
one? No,
who else? All right. And again, I'm sorry. You're listening.
Rewind the tape.
You're
right.
You're listening to the Urban Sports Scene, Will T.
You down with
Ray,
RG3.
And Wally.
Yeah, you know me. Remember that Deion Sanders saying? When they won a 6-game winning streak, then everybody was an RG3 bandwagon.
Oh, yeah, everybody loved RG3 back then.
There was one guy who said, if you look at what they're doing with him offensively, he has one read, then he has a check down, then he runs. It's one guy who said that who's on this show. That's me.
He gets
you
too
don't
much.
Say a whole lot of positive
he gets
things
too
about
much.
The Washington football.
He doesn't.
No, I do. I give credit where it's due. Just like I'm about to say something positive. Chris Thompson should be the starting running back for this team going forward.
All right, hold up. Did you watch the game Sunday?
He should be.
I watched most.
He
of
should.
It.
I agree. With, I agree.
Of it.
I agree.
Did you see
Will
the beginning though. Now Rob Kelly came out.
No, he fried. He's 78 yards and 12 carries.
Did you see Rob Kelly miss that open? Did you see him
in the beginning?
Yeah,
I did see that. Now that's
terrible. That's terrible vision.
But this is second.
Okay, mistakes. One was
Chris Thompson was young too.
Come on, and Chris Thompson did like on the pitch. He could have caught the. Actually, it was a bad pitch.
Chris Thompson,
but he could have caught that pitch.
Blocks.
Yeah, I mean,
I agree with you though.
It's a good 1-2 punch.
I agree, Will, that I think he should be the starter.
Chris
I think
Thompson
he's the best running
clearly
back.
Clearly,
the
best running back.
But I think Robert Kelly ran a good game, had a good running
you know
game.
What? I'm not going to disagree with you
on
guys.
Sunday. You know what I mean?
I like Matt Jones last year. Look where he is.
I actually like what
somebody
practiced
for
right
now.
No, he actually got cut.
He got cut again.
Oh, he got cut. Oh, poor
yeah. Matt Jones went to the one team where I thought that he would be truly an asset and truly prosper. He went to the Colts.
Yeah,
and then they let him go.
Yeah.
I don't understand.
Oh,
that.
My Colts? Because my Colts let him go.
Yeah, your Colts. You're right.
No, but I actually like the kid Mac Brown.
For the Redskins?
Yeah.
Yeah, Mac, I like Florida. He's a good running back too. All right, so how do the Redskins are playing the Oakland Raiders. How do their cornerbacks in Breeland and Norman match up with, you know, Amari Cooper and Michael Crabtree?
I'll say this is going to be an interesting matchup. If Washington continues to put Josh Norman on the best receiver, because it'll be interesting to see, is it Amari Cooper? Is it Michael Crabtree?
Right now, because Crabtree's a hot one. I'll put him on Crabtree.
I'll put him on Crabtree. No, plus I think Amari Cooper's faster than Crabtree, and I think Breland has the speed to match up with him.
Mm-hmm.
I think Breland gets smoked by Amari Cooper.
Yeah, we'll see. I think Breland's had
like a drum. That's just
Amari Cooper is a very good receiver, but I don't think he is. Well, Amari Cooper is a good route runner.
He's a great route runner,
off the line.
He's
Breland
that might get Breland problems because
that's what I'm saying. That's why I said he's going to get.
Well,
I think
good route runner.
He's not just speed, you know.
But good route runners get any good cornerback issues. But yeah, I think Amari Cooper is as good as, you know.
True, Champ Bailey, he could check anybody. You know, that's how great he was, in my opinion. Even if you were a great route runner.
Elite corners, yeah, I agree. Elite corners.
So Breland is not that, but Breland has
the
good.
Ability. Yeah. He's good.
If Breland can get his hands on you, then he wins that matchup. I like Breland's length. That's why I said I would put Breland on Crabtree
because it's scary.
Crabtree is far more physical at the line of scrimmage, which I think suits more to Breland's style of play.
Because if you look at Michael Crabtree, I think Michael Crabtree is a better, is a decent route runner too. But I think between the two, I mean, Amari Cooper is more crisp in his routes, and Michael Crabtree is more of a physical wide receiver.
Do you think Amari Cooper is a bigger deep threat than Crabtree?
Yes.
Okay, so
yes.
Josh Norman, is he a better deep cover guy than Breland? I don't think so.
Yeah, he is. I would say he is. Josh Norman's a better cover right now.
On the deep ball.
This season? Are we talking about this season? Or are we talking about in general?
For the first two games.
I think Breland has been better.
That's been better this season so far.
It's early, but in that regard, I would say this is
a great test for them early on. I'm liking it, and it's at home.
Yeah.
I believe that if they come out with the same energy, this team that they showed on Sunday, they look motivated.
No, why I look motivated? Because must win.
Every game is supposed to be a must win.
No, this
is 16. This is a 16 must win.
We know this one was a must win.
Look at what Smoot said, though. He talked about how good the coaching was, the game plan.
Yeah.
You have to have that same energy. You have to have a good game plan coming out this week. You have to.
I would be, if I'm a Washington fan, I would be even more encouraged. Like I said last week, my prediction for this week still stands. I still think Washington beats Oakland. But I think you have to be far more encouraged this week, seeing how Washington played against the Rams last week, their ability to run the ball.
Yeah, I think so, yeah.
Jay Gruden continued to run the ball at the Los Angeles Rams. I think he'll do the same thing against the Raiders this week.
It was encouraging, but to be honest, the Rams are overrated, or they were overrated for the simple fact that they had this big win, they got a new coach, and a lot of people thought the Redskins were going to have their hands full, which really the Redskins start off so strong, the Redskins could have broke that game open. If you think about some of the tweaks that the Redskins need, you finish in the red zone, the Redskins, that's not a close game.
Yeah, I think the Rams...
But it's good to see them get turnovers.
I think that defensively it was good to see, you know, them flying around the ball. Like you said, getting turnovers. Offensively, I mean, I like the blueprint. I think that's a way that they can win games in general. Like, I like this old Joe Gibbs style power football. Don't turn the ball over. Run and be effective and play solid defense.
But they got to wrap up this week because Beast Mode is coming.
Well, yeah, and this is the thing. This is better talent. Like, you're seeing this team is – you got a quarterback who played at an MVP level, played it like at an MVP level last year before he went down. You got Amari Cooper. You got Michael Crabtree, who's been productive as a pairing. Those two have been productive since being in Oakland together. Now you got Beast Mode, who averaged like 4 yards a carry last game.
I'm going to tell you the matchup that we haven't even discussed, which I think is going to be the most important matchup, which is Khalil Mack versus Morgan Moses.
Oh, yeah. Oh, you think they're going to have him?
I'm worried
ideally.
About Morgan Moses.
That's true.
Yeah.
Khalil Mack
versus
Morgan Moses.
They may have to double that.
Yeah. Or you're going to have to send a running back, or you're going to have to chip him off the line with a tight end.
But, I mean, the Redskins have – oh, sorry, go ahead, Ray.
No, I'm just going to ask. We're looking at the DBs for obvious reason. Smooth mentioned Kendall Fuller. He's getting better.
Yeah.
He's getting better. Just the first two games and the preseason, we're seeing improvement, which is great.
I think he's physical. I'll take the physical brand of football.
You add another third effective DB, and that's obvious why we're looking at that. But let's look at the offense. Terrell Pryor, being that he's still adjusting, Were you encouraged by what you saw from him on Sunday?
He still dropped one. He dropped one. But I, you know, he made some plays like the long run and whatnot. I think they've been trying to get him involved.
And Jordan Reed looked
getting comfortable
this week too.
Yeah, but he was a target. Like you could tell he was part of the plan.
I'm just saying, he looked quick. He looked like he could shake tackles off.
Yeah. I just thought that it looked like they actually,
because the first week I know there was still talk about him being in significant pain because of his toe. But this time around he may have been in pain, but he just looked like he wasn't hurt.
Yeah,
he wasn't injured.
Crowder looked good. I just felt like they actually targeted Crowder.
Yeah, Mason Foster gets the pick in the game. How did you feel about that?
They actually targeted Crowder and Joy Reid. Foster was, you know, he almost dropped that thing too. So he almost dropped it. So.
Wow.
No, but it was a good play.
Still a position the Redskins need to improve upon going forward. Now, what do you think about what Smoot said about improving the roster? In terms of Cousins' contract and how that could potentially restrict the team from improving in areas like linebacker moving forward.
So here's my thing about that.
Mm-hmm.
I agree. I do agree. There are certain elements of Fred Smoot's argument that I agree with. To date, Kirk Cousins does not deserve to be the highest paid quarterback in the NFL. But if I'm Kirk Cousins and I'm his agent, I'm going to be the first unrestricted franchise quarterback to ever hit the market. You're doing an injustice to yourself, not to just himself, but also to the players' union if you don't maximize your dollars and get the most money that you can get. That's one. Two, if I'm Kirk Cousins, finding talent for this roster isn't my job.
Yeah.
That's the front office job.
Yeah.
That's what you employ them for.
Mm.
I get paid to be the quarterback, and since I'm a what some would consider a franchise quarterback that's hitting the free agent market,
mm-hmm.
I'm going to maximize my dollars. I understand people saying that you should take less to improve the team.
No,
ask any one of us common people who work in corporate America. Are you taking less for your company so your team could be better?
No,
right.
That's a little bit different.
Yes and no. No, no, it's not different.
It is.
It's not different.
This is
you're on a team. You're, no. It's no. Within the context.
I don't take showers with these people.
No. Just answer the question. Answer the question.
I just don't think it's apples to apples.
Yes, it is. It is apples to apples. It's very much apples to apples. You're on a team. You're an integral part of that team. You show up every day to do your job. If there becomes a point where you say, man, I need some help, are you going to go to your supervisor and say, look, I'm willing to take less money if you hire someone else?
No.
Okay. Wally, would you do the same thing?
No, I would.
Okay, then. So let's stop BSing our fans. I don't understand where fans come from where they say, oh, you should take less money to get for the team to
let's
be better.
No, that's millions, not, bro. We're not talking about
it. Doesn't
us.
It has nothing to do.
I've
it's,
always,
a, it's dollars. It's
I've
money.
Learned long, I mean, I don't. I don't knock, especially in the NFL. I don't knock anybody trying to get their money. Like I wouldn't.
No, you know
that's not my. That's not his responsibility. It's the responsibility.
No,
of
I'm saying for him. No,
to
a player. No, no, no. If
players.
I'm a player in the NFL, I'm not. I don't care. Like if I'm an NFL player, I'm worried about my money because my contract's not guaranteed. So.
Oh, and that's a great point. I'm not disagreeing with you. I don't think I compare to that, but I agree with your point in terms of Kirk Cousins. Also, I feel like Kirk Cousins has all the leverage. Have you seen the quarterback play this
it's
season?
Always go back to Kirk Cousins.
Absolutely.
It does. Have you seen the quarterback play?
Absolutely.
Kirk Cousins could be used elsewhere. You pay me, or I can
walk.
Indy right now could definitely use Kirk Cousins.
They probably he doesn't even have. He has
Jacksonville.
All he
would have Jacksonville can use.
All
he
would have is
San Francisco can use
Cousins. Kirk Cousins can only be successful when Deshaun Jackson is on.
Can use Kirk Cousins. Did you watch the Cleveland game?
No, probably? No. Cleveland cannot be because Cleveland doesn't have enough talent to be good with Kirk Cousins. Kirk needs talent around him.
Yeah, I totally.
He needs talent. He's not
Kirk Cousins is a good quarterback if you have the. I say this pre snap. Kirk Cousins is what you want in a quarterback, right?
Mm-hmm.
He can come out, he can read the defense, he can adjust the line. It's post-snap when he has to make a play or when the play goes off schedule, which he does. That's where it all falls out for him.
Yeah.
It's been some teams, including Cincinnati. I know you like Andy Dalton, Wally, but he's got off to a horrible
start. Oh, he's playing bad this year.
Right, I'm just saying.
But yeah, you put him in Cincinnati, I think he thrives.
Yeah, AJ Green.
Yeah, AJ Green, the running back situation.
So
Tyler Eifert.
That right there gives you leverage. Period. Because you say, you
but
know
you
what?
But you gotta find the right situation. Like, this is the thing. I'm sorry, go ahead. I'm gonna cut you off. Sorry, go ahead, Ray.
No, keep going, bro.
No, because you got a certain, you gotta look at certain teams in terms of the talent, what the value is. Like, there's only about a handful of teams that, to be honest with you, will probably be going after Kirk Cousins. And, that's solely also because of the draft itself. So it just plays, it's just different. It depends. The situation depends. Like, you know what I mean? Teams depend on that. But
you're not lucky for us moving over. Now we gotta end the segment.
But real quick, give me a game prediction. You're right, we do have to end the segment.
Oh, I said last week I'm staying with it. I have the Raiders. I mean, not the Raiders. I have Washington winning.
Man, real do people. Real people do real things.
Real people do real things. I like the Redskins in this game. I like the Redskins. I'm going with the Redskins.
Yeah, I'm going with the Raiders.
Okay.
Just superstition.
You know me. Real people do real things. Anyway.
That's the first time I received a text from you, by the way, after a Redskins game, which is great to see. Yeah. Show that you're not taking it so serious now.
We will.
It's good to see.
Thank you. I try, man. Like, I try to grow. I try to grow as a person.
It's the whole Green Belt Championship thing. It's really letting you.
Oh, my God. Hey, we will make show, our man. Week three NFL predictions after the break. You listen to the Urban Sports Lane.
For ages.
You dig.
Deuces.
Call it how it is. Hendrix. I promise you, swag. You young Metro, I don't wanna trust you. I'm gonna shoot you. Yo. Percocet. Miley Percocet. Percocet. Miley Percocet. Represent. Gotta represent. Gang, gang. Chase a chick. Chase. Never chase a chick. Don't chase no. Mask on.
You are listening to Urban Sports. I know, right? With Will T, Ray, and myself, Wally.
I could be a rapper.
Oh, man, you should have been.
Shoot,
also,
can.
Check out the Football Garbage Time podcast at www.footballgarbagetime.com. We will have an NFL Pick'em Challenge with them every week. We are having one every week. Right now, in terms of our individual records from last week, Will T and I went 11-5. Ray went 8-8. In comparison, the Football Garbage Times, Joanne went 14-2. Ryan went 12-4. And Hakun Wan went 10-6. You know, so.
I was so close.
I know you were close.
I was so close with some of my upset picks. But you know what? It's all about catching up in the standings at this point. So I'm going to try to reel it in a bit.
I feel you. And our overall record, Will T is 16-15. Ray is 14-17. I'm 20-11. Damn, 20-11 sounds good for me. Sounds really. Doesn't it sound good?
It's an improvement over past.
I knew it.
I picked Philly to beat the Chiefs, which was very interesting.
Yeah, but, yeah.
And Philly was.
You were. You had some interesting picks.
On the road.
You had some very interesting
Philly,
picks.
Philly's improved.
They are. I think. I think Philly can win the division easily. Yeah. I think they're that talented.
If my aunt had balls, she'd be my uncle.
Okay.
Sheesh.
First pick, Rams versus Niners.
Rams.
Oh, I'm going first?
Yeah.
Oh, give me the Rams.
You said Rams?
Yeah, I'm taking the Rams.
I'm taking the Rams as well. Ravens versus the Jaguars.
Oh, give me the Ravens.
Ravens. Yeah, go ahead. Pick Blake Bortles at 9:30 give me going to see that game.
Give me Jacksonville.
Okay.
Browns versus the Colts.
This is a ugly one.
It is. This is why I hate this game.
This is an ugly one, but I'm going to take Cleveland to get their first win of the season.
Right?
I said I wanted to go pick the Colts. No,
yeah, you're going to pick the Colts, aren't you?
I know.
Yes, you are.
Where is the game? Because your sheet was wrong last week.
That was right.
No, it wasn't. You had to roll. Who was on the roll in this game? That's what I want to know.
Where is
this game?
It says the Colts.
Oh, I didn't. Give me the Colts. They're at home. I'll take the Colts. One more time. Super Daryl. Hey.
Will T. All right. You're going first. Giants versus the Eagles.
Who'd you pick? The Browns?
Give me the Eagles.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah, I took the Browns. Give me the Eagles.
Yeah. I am going to take the G-Man. I'm going for the upset, man. Why not?
Dolphins versus Jets. Ray.
Give me the Dolphins.
I said, well, you the Dolphins? Okay,
yeah,
well.
Give me the Dolphins.
Ray.
Give me the Dolphins. I'll never pick the Jets again.
Oh, give me the Dolphins. Broncos versus Bills in Buffalo. Will T.
Oh, okay. Give me the Broncos.
I'll take the upset, the Bills.
I'll take the Broncos. Saints versus Panthers.
I said I was going
to
stop doing
in Carolina. I know you and you're not going
I
to.
Can't help it.
Will T.
This is in Carolina?
Yeah.
I'm going to go with the Saints for the upset.
I'm liking that one, too.
Whatever, I'm going for the Panthers.
shoot.
This is championship rounds, man. Yeah, go for the title right now.
Give me the Panthers.
I was about to say the same thing.
I want the Saints, too, just on the record.
Steelers.
My aunt had balls, like you said.
Steelers versus the Bears. Will T.
Oh, give me the Steelers.
Steelers.
Falcons versus Lions. Will T.
This is gonna be a great game. It's gonna be a great game, but I'm taking the Lions.
I appreciate you. Give me the Falcons all day.
Give me the Falcons. Buccaneers versus
number one in the power.
Buccaneers versus the Vikings, the Minnesota Vikings.
This is gonna be a good game
in Minnesota.
Bradford.
Help. Yeah, he may not. That's what ruined my pick last week.
See, my pick is all dependent on Bradford.
Yeah, I know.
Being healthy. But
my aunt had.
I'm going to go with the Vikings.
Ray?
I'm taking the Buccaneers. I ain't messing with no backup quarterbacks.
I'm taking the Bucs.
But I reserve the right.
I'm taking the Bucs. Here you go.
Sam Bradford is out to change my pick.
All right, Texans.
Yes, I do.
Texans versus the Patriots. Man, dude, it don't work that way. Texans versus the Patriots. We'll see.
Give me Patriots.
Yeah, the Patriots. I can't.
Give me the Texans. I don't care. Give Bengals versus Packers.
Go ahead.
Give me the Packers. The Bengals look like they are done.
Yeah, I'll take the Packers as well.
Yeah, I'll take the Packers.
What's the over-under on Marvin Lewis getting fired during the season?
That's ASAP. That's got to be like.
Yeah, it's got to happen.
I think it'll happen. I think it'll be end of the season,
yeah,
to be honest with you.
And Jay Gruden goes back. Yeah. After he gets fired.
That's not a bad one. Chiefs versus Chargers in L.A.
Give me the Chiefs.
It's a must-win for Chargers too.
Okay. I gotta take the Chiefs. I can't keep doing this.
So, and Philip, I got official? You. You gonna Rivers. Be official? Which are you gonna say? The Chargers?
Yeah, the Chargers.
Okay.
I'm with you, Philip, man.
Probably get it. We already got the Redskins.
I picked the Raiders. Cowboys versus the Cardinals.
Cowboys screwed me this weekend too.
Carson Palmer looks done. Give me the Cowboys.
Give me the Cardinals.
I'll take the Cowboys.
Give me the Cardinals. I will not ever pick.
So because Atlanta beats Detroit, me and Will will be tied next week.
Say what?
Because we picked almost identical. Although I picked some dumb upsets, but you picked the Vikings, right? So we good. I think we're gonna be.
Well, no, I reserve the right to change my pick if Sam Bradford does not play.
If you didn't already know who our next guest was, you should
have done. I know, right? We'll have Ryan Sullivan, editor in chief of NatsGM.com. To discuss the Nationals. You listen to the Urban Sports Scene.
Live radio.
You dig?
Live radio is great. I got loyalty, got royalty inside my DNA. Quarter peace, got war and peace inside my DNA. I got power, poison, pain, and joy inside my DNA. I got hustle, though ambition flow inside my DNA. I was born like this, is born like this, immaculate conception. I transform like this, perform like this, with Yao Shu, a new weapon. I don't contemplate, I meditate, then off your head. This that put the kids to bed. This that I got realness. I just kill shit, cause it's in my DNA. I got
in my DNA. I got dark, I got evil that rot inside my DNA. I got off, I got trouble, some heart inside my DNA. I just win again, then win again, like Wimbledon I serve. Yeah, that's him again, the sound, the engine in is like a bird. You see fireworks, they Corvette tire skirt the boulevard. I know how you work, I know just who you are. See, use it, use it, use it. Your hormones probably switch inside your DNA. Problem is, all that sucker shit inside your DNA. Daddy probably snitch, heritage inside your DNA.
You're listening to the Urban Sports Team, myself, Wally, Will T, and Ray. What you doing, man? You doing DNA? You bobbing to the DNA?
Oh, I bob that. I bob to music sometimes.
You do?
I bob.
I remember we used to, I remember we used to show the lane, man. Those are the days.
I was dabbing a little bit.
You was dabbing?
Just now. That was
do your kids dab?
Yeah.
That's what's up, man. My niece's dab. It's a cool thing. But anyway, right now we have Washington Nationals blogger
Will T.
I'm sorry, huh? Will T.
Will T doesn't dab, clearly.
Washington Nationals editor-in-chief of NatsGM.com online. What's going on? How you doing? And thank you for joining the Urban Sports Team.
Yes, sir.
Hey, guys. Thank you so much for the invite, man. I'm going to have a tough time to call it. Sounds like you guys are having a heck of a lot of fun picking games.
Oh, we always clown around. You know, Ray makes jokes about everything about my life. Will T is the... What is Will T?
He's the wild card.
He is the wild. You never know. You never know. Like
if my uncle had this and that, whatever he says.
But let's get right into it. Over the weekend, the Washington Nationals lost 2 of 3 to the LA Dodgers. Are they a good matchup for the Dodgers? Or are they better than the Dodgers? And how do they match up against the Dodgers?
Well, you know, they match up pretty well with the Dodgers. I mean, you know, the Dodgers, everybody fears, you know, first and foremost, you start with their starting rotation with Kershaw and now Rich Hill and Alex Wood, who's having a great year. But the Nationals, you know, their starting lineup is going to run out 6 right-handed hitters of their starting 8. So, you know, nobody's going to have a good advantage against Kershaw if he's not the best in baseball. He's the second best behind our guy Scherzer. But, I mean, shoot, you know, when you match up that way, I mean, our lineup is going to have a good chance against them. We've got some guys with some power. We've got some guys that can put the bat on the ball. So in that respect, I mean, as well as you can match up against those guys, I think we match up fairly well.
No, I like, again, when looking at the Nationals, I like the top two aces on the ball club in terms of Scherzer and Strasburg. I mean, if you can put those two, especially with how Gio's pitching, you put those three individuals together against any rotation, I think they have a good chance to win the World Series. And plus the Nationals with their offense, you know, a lot of teams in the postseason, they have great pitching, but the offense is kind of on the wayside. Well, the Nationals have a great combination and an improved bullpen as well.
Yeah, sure. I mean, think about, you know, the LA Dodger podcast across the country is saying, man, they got to go against Scherzer, Strasburg, and guys like Gio Gonzalez has got a 2.5 ERA. I mean, you know, they're making the same point like you're saying. So, this team is, I think the real big key for the playoffs is going to be how Gio does. I mean, we've seen him have some not good appearances in the playoffs the last few years, but this year he's really stepped forward and had a great year. Sure, he's stranded more runners than he has, you know, in previous years, and he's had some luck, if you want to call it that, but I think the Dodgers have a fair amount of left-handed hitting, and Gio is going to be a real key in these playoffs for the team. I mean, I think you can count on what you're going to get from Scherzer and Strasburg, but if you can get good outings from Gio and also from Roark, that's really going to help save that, you know, the middle of the bullpen, which might be the underbelly, and could really get it to the back of the bullpen with, you know, Kinsler and Doolittle and Madsen, who have been so good since coming over midseason.
Ryan, this is Will. One question for you. Bryce Harper, I heard there was a report that came out earlier today that he was taking some BP and he even did a simulated game. If Bryce Harper is healthy, how does he affect the lineup in the outfield?
Well, I think that I'm assuming that he is, you know, 80% of what he can be. You know, you've got to play him in right field, about in third or fourth in the lineup. I mean, he's that kind of a figure. And kind of similarly to what Ryan Zimmerman was in the 2012 playoffs when he wasn't fully healthy, but just having him around and either being able to pinch hit or coming up in a key moment, you know, the team is going to have to worry about that. And he's, you know, probably besides he and Murphy, you know, those are the two left-handed bats in the lineup. So he changes the configuration of the lineup big time. I mean, you know, he gives him a second lefty. And obviously, if he's not one of the, I mean, what is he, one of the best 3 or 5 hitters in baseball? I mean, you know, it'd be like taking, you know, LeBron James off his team. I mean, it's, you have to pitch and plan for him. So I think we're going to start seeing him. There were reports today that he ran the bases. I think there's a good chance that we'll see him in a game probably in the next before you guys record another show, probably in a week or so.
Speaking of the lineup going into the postseason, what are your thoughts about Jason Wirth?
I've never been the biggest Jason Wirth fan. Yes. I think anybody that recently can kind of I think that I don't want to underestimate or understate the effect that he's had on the organization as a whole, particularly the first two or three years that he's here. But I think his time is slowly coming to a close. I mean, you know, we were all worried about year six and seven were going to look like with that contract when he signed it. And I think that we're kind of coming a little bit due to year seven a little bit. That looks a little slow. The legs look a little slow. But, you know, that said, I mean, he's still going to give you a professional at bat. He still gets on base at, I don't know, 350, 360 clip. And in the playoffs, if he's not your starting left fielder, assuming Bryce is healthy, you know, he gives you a real interesting weapon off the bench and somebody that can give you a key at bat and experience, knows what to do, and work pitchers. So I'm hoping that, like I said, assuming Bryce is healthy, that he's acting as a fourth outfielder and we'll see action in every game.
I couldn't agree more. But these guys that I'm sitting with, they feel like Dusty Baker won't make the move. They feel like he is someone who's going to be somewhat, I guess, loyal to Jason Wirth.
I think the fellas are right. Yeah, that wasn't the question. I think the guys are right, unfortunately. I think Wirth is going to be starting left field and probably batting sixth, unfortunately. But that said, you know, I will say in a certain way, I mean, I think Howie Kendrick would be a better option. But in some ways, Kendrick is a real nice weapon off the bench. I mean, to have somebody that can really put the bat on the baseball, hits about 320 and doesn't strike out much. I mean, that's a real nice weapon to have when you want to pinch hit somebody in the seventh, eighth, ninth inning, and we're talking about guys that are throwing at 97 to 100 miles an hour. I mean, that's a real nice weapon to have, too. So both of those guys are going to be nice weapons. It just depends on, you know, how you want to use them, for lack of any better way to say it.
Oh, I love having you on the show, man. You just hurt me, though. but you know, you did tell the truth, so I don't disagree with you.
Well, Ryan, I wanted to ask you about the future. Two players in particular. Victor Robles, who recently came up from the minors. I think he went from AA to major, if I'm not mistaken. And also the Nats first round pick, Seth Romero. Can you tell me a little bit about Romero? I know that he was kicked off of the Houston team. Can you give us a little bit more insight into him as a pitcher and the potential that he has?
All right, we'll start with Romero. He was the first-round pick in the Nats this season, 25th overall from Houston. Was kicked off his team, as you mentioned, mid-March of the season this year. For some transgressions, I believe he got into a fight with his teammates, which was kind of the last straw. Unfortunately, that doesn't sound like a particularly bad thing, but it had been kind of, as I say, the third or fourth incident there. If we can say, you know, knucklehead stuff aside, and all the stuff he's done is knucklehead stuff, I don't think that he's a bad guy. I think it's a 20-year-old kid being a 20-year-old kid, and I can certainly say I did some stuff at 20 that I shouldn't have done. So, of course, I'm 37 now. I can say the same thing. But anyways.
That's true.
But if we can take the off-the-field stuff aside, this is a top 10 player in this year's draft on sheer talent. I mean, he's a 93 to 96 with the fastball, wow, with some run to the arm side. He's got a really effective slider. I mean, a real nasty pitch that goes 1-7 as you would look at it on a clock. And he's also got a changeup that's not quite as good as the other two pitches, but is also not, you know, a nothing pitch like you might see from a Joe Ross or an Eric Betty. So, I mean, this is a three-pitch guy. He's got a very good delivery. He's got good mechanics, pretty well built. You might want to see him firm up a little bit. He's got a little beer belly on him. But the truth of the matter is, I mean, talent-wise, this was a really big-time steal, and the Nationals just gambled like they kind of tend to do in the draft, that they took a player that fell for either health reasons, like we've seen in Giolito and some other guys, Betty, as I mentioned, or this time just somebody who had some character issues. And you know, a lot of scouts didn't get to see, or their cross-checkers didn't get to see, because he, you know, didn't pitch for the last 6 to 8 months or 8 weeks of the season. So, really interesting player. I'm excited to see what he does next year. I'm sure he'll start at low A. to begin next season, and I'm pretty curious to see how quickly they develop him and how quickly they try to get him to the majors and you know, up the chain. As far as Robles that you mentioned, we've seen him in a couple of games. You were right, he did jump up from AA, spent about half the year there, spent about the first half at High A Potomac. Really, really exciting athlete. I have had two scouts comp him with Andrew McCutchen, body-wise and talent-wise in the past. So we're talking about a really elite kind of talent and athletic body. Can really go get it in center field. Really strong arm. I mean, we're talking about a 70 defender in the outfield with six arm. And if that's, you know, too nerdy for everybody, that's almost an elite defender, defensive outfielder with a really good arm. So speed is excellent, outstanding, a seven as well, like I mentioned. And then really the only question with him is how much power is going to develop. But we got to hold the horses a little bit. I mean, the man's 20 years old. You know, it wasn't long ago he was in the Dominican, you know, hitting milk cartons. So we got to be a little, you know, just kind of temper the expectations a little bit. But there's a very good chance that he's, you know, the starter in probably center field or somewhere next season.
Well, I appreciate that because it sounds like the Nats just have an even more promising future on top of what they're already achieving. But give us two quick well, not just two quick predictions. One bold prediction and just some analysis really quick. One is, do you believe that the Nationals are going to win the World Series this season? Will T and I both feel like that's the case? And secondly, did Bryce Harper win that fight earlier this year?
Totally, 100% won the fight. No doubt. I mean, that wasn't even close. And I think he had one of those momentary, like, oh, man, I'm about to do something really wrong, and then he let that helmet go so he didn't hit the guy. I think he was even in the moment and knew what he was doing there. Bold prediction, I don't know. I don't think they're going to win the World Series, more just because I think it's so hard to win the World Series and so much goes wrong. And I also think the National League is just fantastically tough.
Yeah, what about the Orioles? No, I'm kidding.
Oh, man. That's a whole other segment.
That's my team. Don't do that to my team.
Thanks, man. Thanks for coming on the show with us, man. But before you get out of here, you know, just let our listeners know how they can reach you and how they can view your content on social media and anywhere for that matter.
Well, thank you so much, guys. Thanks for the invite. It was really fun to talk about with you guys. And I'm glad you reached out because I've listened to a couple of your shows in the last day or two and I've become a fan. So thank you for that. Please, you can find me and all my work is at natsgm.com online and at natsgm.com on Twitter, all spelled out. And everything starts from there, and that's where you can find me. And if anybody wants to reach out and talk baseball, you know, find me there. And like I said, thanks, guys, for the invite. Really fun talking to you guys this evening.
Hey, no problem. Hopefully we can have you as a regular, you know, with the Nats going on to the World Series.
Anytime, guys. See? Happy to help.
Sounds good to me.
Right, thanks again, Ron.
Thanks, Ryan. We appreciate it.
Have a great evening.
Have a great one. That's Ryan Sullivan from NatsGM.com. I'm mad that you put me out there and said that I didn't pick the team to go to the World Series.
You didn't. I mean,
I know.
It's honest.
I know. It's messed up. I like to be a friend.
It's on a text message. But it's okay. We'll see what happens. If the Nats do go to the World Series, then we're going to have him back on.
Yeah, we're going to have him back on. We can have him back on the postseason.
Me and Will.
We're going to have him the postseason. Throughout the whole postseason, we'll have him on.
And then we'll have him to close out the season.
Yeah, if that happens.
I mean,
actually, we can have him talk World Series. You're right. We can definitely have him talk World Series.
Real stuff, though. He messed me up a little bit with you guys, but no, showed you guys know what you're talking about.
Yeah,
I can trust you all sometimes.
Yeah. I don't know what that means. It's time to go to break. After the break, we'll talk about the big fight that happened on Saturday night. You listen to the Urban Sports thing
for ages.
You dig?
Doses.
Come on, man.
listening to the Urban Sports Scene, myself, Wally.
Jersey Mike Subs, I like that.
Wally and Ray. What did I say? Will T, Wally. I'm Wally and Ray. Yeah, that sounds about right. Anyway, man, like I mentioned before the break, you had a great fight between Triple G, Canelo Alvarez, went the distance, split, ended in a draw. What were your thoughts about the fight?
I think the 118 to 110 was
ridiculous.
Bogus.
That's insane. Bogus. That's insane.
That's one of those things that is going to leave, well, could potentially make a bigger black eye on boxing, right? Mm-hmm. But everyone's so upset and that Triple G lost the fight. I don't see it. It was a very close fight. Everyone's acting like it was a total robbery. It wasn't a total robbery. It was a close fight. It was just like Andre Ward versus Sergey Kovalev the first fight. It could have gone either way. It could have gone either way. The thing is, a lot of people are listening to the announcers and they're looking at the reaction of the crowd, which helps inform their decision. Uh-huh. If you go back, watch that fight, turn the volume off, right, and look at the fight. It is a very close. It's a draw. Mm-hmm. I personally thought Canelo won the fight.
See, okay, so I thought Triple G won the fight, but to your point though, I didn't have an issue with the outcome. With the decision, because like there's a lot of swing rounds. So if there's swing rounds, who am I to say that round is going to be Canelo or that's going to be Triple G? If Canelo had won 115 to 113, I would have been like, that's cool. If Triple G had won, I would have been, that's cool too. I thought Triple G's pace and how he owned, to me, it was his fight. He owned. He was a ring general.
He dictated.
Thank you.
No, he did.
To me, he dictated it.
He didn't dictate.
I felt like when Canelo got on the ropes and just for some strange reason wanted just to wait out.
This is the problem I have with everyone who says that Triple G dictated the pace of the fight. Mm-hmm. It's that Canelo fought a very defensive fight with a lot of counterpunching. Mm-hmm. The only person that people give credit for being a counterpuncher and fighting defensive fight is Floyd Mayweather.
So
yes, Canelo came forward. Mm-hmm. But if you saw from the start from round one, Canelo's obviously his game plan was to use the ring.
Yeah.
And when he did get on the ropes, you roll his shoulders and then counter off of any big shots or any shots that Triple G threw. He maintained this. He did this for the whole fight. Mm-hmm. When people say, oh no, Triple G came forward, Triple G dictated the pace of the fight, no, you could tell that Canelo fought a very defensive fight. He wasn't, now Canelo didn't fight his traditional style of fight, which people are used to, but he switched up his strategy. He tried something different, which I also said that he would do last week.
Yeah.
I say this.
Hey, you said Rick Martel, didn't you? Right, not too long ago.
No, not Rick Martel. No, I'm just telling you what I thought was going to happen, and that's what happened.
But no,
now the 118, like I said, the 118-110.
She was a joke. Adelaide. What?
Yeah, she has to take a mandatory break.
Yeah.
I believe it was the WBC said she has to take a mandatory break, but a draw was not the best, wasn't the worst thing for boxing.
It wasn't.
I think it's a great thing for boxing.
I agree.
Because I don't know how many people watch this fight. I think they said maybe a million people watched this fight.
It should double.
But if a million people watched this fight, how great this fight was, and it was a draw,
you know,
number two on Cinco de Mayo, I guarantee this fight does like 1.8.
Oh, I totally agree.
2 million views.
Totally agree. I think a trilogy would be awesome.
The trilogy would be the best thing for boxing.
It would be. And I think
I'm not going to say the best thing for boxing ever, but I think it would be the best thing for boxing in its current state, because Canelo is the cash cow.
Yeah.
You have
Triple G's a fan favorite.
Triple G is a fan favorite, but to date he hasn't brought the pay-per-view buys.
Of course,
and then you also have Miguel Cotto, who's retiring, who says he's retiring at the end of the year. So you don't have a lot of viable pay-per-view fighters.
Yeah.
Andre Ward, of course, has the talent, but the charisma hasn't transcended into pay-per-view buys unless it's against
a notable major
opponent. So for me,
Terrence Crawford is another one like
that. Yeah, Terrence Crawford, he's on the come up, but then again,
he got to get that fight first.
He has to get that major fight.
I agree with that.
So this a draw wasn't the worst thing that people saying it's a blackout. No, the 118 to 110
was it, but that was it. I agree. I think but that a draw is perfect.
A decision being a draw, that's one of the better things for boxing because this is going to anticipate. And plus, you have a lot of people who went on social media and just in general who said, oh, this was a great fight.
Yeah.
Can't wait to see part two.
Last thing I'll say, I know we're running out of time. Technically, we're over. The same way Andre Ward reacted when he found out he won the first fight against Kovalev, I feel like Canelo thought he lost based on his reaction.
I think based on my
observation,
I felt like he knew that he was behind from because of those last three rounds. Like it finally sunk in.
If you saw his the demeanor. Way he fought in 11th and 12th,
you could
round,
tell.
You know that he knew there was a possibility
he's gonna
that
lose.
He was that's down on
yeah,
the card.
Yeah. I agree.
And that's what makes for a compelling fight.
Yeah.
Right? When you know your back is against the wall and you know you have to play it all out there.
Yeah.
That was his hardest fight outside of Floyd Mayweather.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
That was his toughest fight.
Like on both sides. You know
what
I mean?
Yeah, both of those sides. Guys threw some bombs that connected.
And they both
didn't look like they were phased.
Yeah, they were amped for the fight. Like, they definitely were amped for the fight. But it's time to wrap the show up. Again, it was a good show, man. Good job, fellas, man.
It was a fun show. Thanks to our guest, Fred Smoot.
Yeah. Ryan Sullivan.
Washington cornerback, and also Ryan Sullivan of NatchGM.com. The last thing I wanted to say, Wally, you relayed some news to me about a former associate of ours who's going through a tough time. He's going through the fight of his life. So I just wanted to send out some blessings and good energy to him and tell him that continue to fight the good fight. This is going to be the fight of your life, but I know that you'll prosper and you'll beat this. And, you know, it's okay at times when you're tired to let your family and your loved ones fight for you. And we got your back. Amen. Blessings and love to you and your family.
I appreciate it. That was beautiful, man. I think we're going to end the show off that, man. You've been listening to the Urban Sports Scene.
For ages.
You dig?
Deuces.
Hey, Mac, lead us out, big homie.
To the swag.